Like now, we were provided with the agenda, which has nothing to do with nomination, but the budget and the strategic plan for the land bank. Now, when you get featured here, you get another agenda. We show a lot of items which were discussed in our various properties. That does not give us that count now if we get this information here.
I thought the issue was something we've given an opportunity to settle. I'm going to say a presidential height. I hope you are able to see me. Otherwise, we may change the chair. Thank you very much.
We certainly welcome the opportunity, and perhaps before we start, I might just make some introductory remarks. And before that, please help introduce the members of the main team for today. To my right, I have the acting CEO, Dr. Phil Mutakane. And to my left, I have Tony Bername, Chief Financial Officer. And behind us on the road, starting on the right, is Ms. Ntieto Mofokeng, who is the General Manager in the Office of the CEO. Next to her is Mr. Makale Kwangwa, Treasurer. And next to him is Pati Kalila, the Deputy Chairperson. And on her left is Chairman Wote to the GM for Corporate Development. And we are here today, firstly because there is a statutory duty, I understand, to present the corporate plan for budget 2007-2008. And I think the letter has been addressed to us by the committee under the hand of the outgoing chairperson requesting us to be a specific issue today. And I think we had responded in writing and apologized for the last time some of the members weren't able to make a particular meeting. There has been, in the ordinary course, there has been a delay in presenting the corporate plan. I think ordinarily this would have been done a lot earlier in the year, but we were, as will become apparent from the corporate plan itself, there were some provisions that were not made, and we just needed to have proper opportunity to put the work around before we think to be before your committee. Now, as we understand it, the purpose of the budget and the corporate plan is to look forward for the next 3 years. Our annual financial statement for the year ended 2007 in the process of being finalized, and one should be, I'm pretty certain, will be sent before this committee and honorable members to present those results and then perhaps speak to the questions on past performance. And then just some remarks regarding the corporate plan itself. Is that, as members may be aware, we have been in the last 2.5 years or so been implementing what we have called a turnaround strategy, which, as you may recall, had some six components of addressing issues of people, systems and processes, risk, brand, cost and revenue and capital. And the turnaround strategy at the time when it was developed was to enable the bank to make its own money in order to drive the developmental mandate, and that was really going to be funded out of that model of self-sustaining, was going to be driven from the income tax endowment, and that the bank wouldn't have to pay income tax but would apply whatever would be the future income tax towards driving the development mandate. And similarly, the bank wouldn't be required to pay dividends, but rather those amounts which would ordinarily be dividends would then be put aside to drive development. And that is really the basis upon which a lot of the turnaround strategy has been developed, particularly the last 2 bits of cost and revenue and capital. And then the shareholders expressed a desire to accelerate the delivery of the development mandate, because on this particular model, I think it was going to take a lot longer to start doing some real development and seeing some differences on the ground and meaningful interventions of the bank, which then required us to then revise the capital part of the turnaround strategy and also the cost and revenue, which then, following some wide consultation, ended up in the development and the adoption by the bank and the ministry of a new business model for the bank, focusing on accelerated delivery of the development mandate of the bank. The new model now is underpinned by a greater emphasis of shareholder support, which is really in two forms. One is capital injection into the bank directly, and the second would be then other forms of government support directly to new and emerging farmers, and these would in the main be in the form of grants. The new model in respect to the turnaround strategy, honourable members may be aware of, is a revision of the capital and the revenue and cost model, in that the other components of the turnaround remain relevant, in that those other parts are still being implemented, sorting out the skills and the people that we need in the bank, the systems and the processes to try and modernize and accelerate how we turn around the applications that people bring, the risk of managing our own capital, and also just the brand and image, which is work that is still going on. If I would now perhaps, I see in my introduction of the team, I forgot to mention the acting CEO of operations, Mr. Takumzi Zontaga. If I could now hand over to the acting CEO and management to take on the members of the corporate plan and budget of the presentation we have.
Thank you, Mr. Madwai and Chairperson. We are now looking into the issues that are raised by the Chairperson in terms of how we're going to try and accelerate the issues around the development. In our first class, we begin to discuss the issues around looking into our own self and looking at how the capital resources are being expended and how this is going to be going to be able to achieve this particular impetus to move much faster in developing space. It's been quite a process, as President has indicated. We have done some consulting and consultations with people who were possible to be able to get the full impact of what it is that we are looking at as an organization to be able to achieve the total impact in terms of development of the program. The first leg of our process took us to the issues around who the bottom line customers were. And of course, we have spoken to customers and came up with a certification that talks about three types of clients that are basically out there that have expectations and do expect some kind of relationship with them. And those three categories include what we call commercial farmers, and basically are the people who are really basically depending on what you call the banking ability of the bank and are dealing with the food security of the country at national level. We are now beginning to see an emerging technology group of farmers like the landlords in the national team are saying they're basically amazing farmers. And their concerns are basically around equitable access to empowerment issues. And of course, the majority of the people who are there are still those that we call subsistence farmers who are basically concerned around household income and the challenge, therefore, is to find a meaningful way to make sure that these particular people do find a space within the development agenda and also to address those development issues in the country. The three groups had very, very quite interesting expectations coming out of itself. From the commercial side itself, having used that the SAEs and the other people players, I think the major desire there was that they felt that the land bank should continue to be looking into issues around just that we must have support for itself. They felt that they need to find a space in which they can place the land bank around issues around transformation, particularly as it relates to land reform and other what you call economic development issues, where they can play a role and be able to assist up, and then maybe the land bank could be a medium which is especially interested in that particular track. The second group of the emerging farmers have got different set of notions, but not very much different from those from the issues around commercialization. They knew what it's about, first of all, the product of the land was offered to them. And the time resistance of those particular products in terms of how those products are being structured to assist them. One of the issues they were concerned about was their own participation in the value chain and how this was going to be was managed by the land bank to assist them to be able to assist in that particular structure. They have raised issues around the historicalness of the engagement in the land bank, particularly around debt development, saying that they need to look at other means of financial systems to move forward, because they are not able to carry the challenge that they have with economic development is the debt that is getting in there. One of the key issues that they are raising is the issue around extension business support. They feel like the extension is critical for their own success and as well as the business support element that needs to be in there. But they now begin to realize that it's not only funding that needs to be looking at, but also issues around bookkeeping and how we actually service your debt and other issues that make the business go around. They feel that there's opportunities out in the market, really around the PE, but they need to have some kind of leverage to empower the people to engage with the particular and participate in the particular initiative. And they're looking towards the land bank to do that. But more importantly, this group of farmers are saying to us that the land bank is a historical role, usually gets paid over the year. This historical role has been that role in which the land bank has been known for to be able to assist poor farmers to come to a level of some commercialization. And they thought, and I still believe, that this is the role of the nation actually manifests itself. Turning now to the biggest part of the rural society, the sustainable farmer. I already engaged them with them in the process of producing things, and part of it is that development must actually be around rural development issues to include the economic issues. That the issue of food security is very, very critical, and we need to find a way to be able to address that with them. Issues of jobs and regular income to address some of their other needs, families and households, need to be looked at. They raise the issue around skills and support that is required for them to be able to engage in the offerings that are in there and opportunities that are there in the market and also in the development issues. They talked about the development. For them to not just be about feeding the soil, they needed to be able to engage in really serious issues and be engaged in sustainable projects as well. And exactly the same situation as the American farmer was very consistent in that they said the bank had installed a role, and for them to, I think the expectation of the bank should be able to carry them up to where they can engage now and have some sustainable level of projects that are very, very bankable. Knowing that the institution is the creature of government, we do need government alone. We have to engage with themselves to find out what the expectations of a particular part was. Our president was through the Land Bank Act of 15 of 2002. We engaged the Cloud Commission report to be able to make sure that our understanding of the mandate is very, very clear. We also looked at the strategy of the department of the council. We looked at other support structures that are designed for the same purpose, like the other 2000 pages. We look at the issues of development and how to do and just develop in terms of your integration at lower and local level. How we then align ourselves in terms of those levels for the other institutions plus government. And that development was actually looking for a faster way to look into the one particular new plan where they have to reach. But I think the very key for our understanding is that the major target and the major challenge to remain job creation and rural development issues. In the second economy. We then face the issue of trying to look if these were the challenges that we're facing, how we properly foster as an organization. We came up with a new vision that in terms of understanding of these particular challenges, we need to aspire to utilize the kind of financial resources towards the development of farmers and the rural economy. And simply because it's not only financial services that are required to develop the rural area, but other interventions may be necessary between ourselves and other intermediaries to be able to induce a particular economic development. The mission then shifted supply chains to mean that we need to support economic growth in South Africa, the development of farmers and rural economies by way of prudent investment, very, very key because we need to sustain the growth of the business and to support the agricultural sector. To grow. If there's development as well as objectives of bank, then also needed to do the test. And we realized that coming out of the Land Bank Act of 2002, the bank needed to promote and facilitate and support the ownership and access of physical advantage groups of cultural resources as land increased. So we need to match our own pace with that of the alignment process of Academy of Land Affairs, agriculture and other state organs. And instead we need to have indications whether they're moving along the right roads. Any of those needs to have roadmap which we must follow. And those indicators for us meant we need to start looking at the number of remaining farmers who are supporting acquiring land, the power of our output, the power of our historical presence. We needed to look at land ownership by previously, that one is individual, to be also contributing towards the government target of 10% by 2015. We also needed to look at the increased production by black and Indian farmers in agricultural sector. Again, within the framework of the day, having to promote, facilitate, and support a daily performing development program, proper program, like English as the PDI, the initiatives are unfolded. Mr. Chair, I'm stuck here on technology. Like I'm not moving. The other indicators we need to look at chair to make sure that we're on the right track. What to actually start being able to reduce the number of problems we are targeting at the PDI farmers. We need to be looking at the number of farmers that can execute from such programs. We should be able to clearly quantify those to be able to see the impact we are doing. We need to look at the number of farmers who show increased control for activity and profitability, even though we know the federal challenging environment where the elements are sometimes are those that are given by God in nature. But we set the disposal where we can, we need to be able to share this particular quality case. We need to be able to target the number of support programs to do as well for what we found there as part of the funding going forward. And more importantly, we also need to have improved access to those who are the police of the land bank. So we need to look at communities around NGOs and co-ops and other people who are out there in general sector to make sure that whatever is being offered to the land bank can those people as terms. We also wanted to look at the number of entrepreneurs because we realized that agriculture is a business, and if you're going to have a business in totality, you need to move from the primary sector only. And look at the crucial business aspects, therefore the most issue is very important. We need to look at enterprises. I mean, not necessarily the settlement based enterprises, but maybe some value added and some processing enterprises. And we need to look at the large particular enterprise, how we actually treat these jobs, create job development in the country. The orientation we are taking coming from the business science that we need to be dealing with the agriculture from a commercial perspective. And therefore, at the end of the day, we need to be able to tell how many commercial enterprises are out there. Where the value chain of production is simulated and people are starting to move along various levels of value chain from not a commercial point of view. And maybe talk about Chinese in terms of contribution to profitability and the effect that they'll, as a country, we'll be able to provide for the nation in terms of food. Jobs, I think, are becoming important because from lessons learned, jobs can be temporary agriculture, but I think the target now is to be able to look into the issue around permanent jobs. And of course, there will always be an issue around the finality of jobs as agriculture, which is what's called operation and farming centers. But the key thing here is to focus to make sure that the more people can bring into the economy play, the better you do it in terms of what they're providing for the world. However, our response as an institution going forward is that we are very quite aware that we are a development finance institution, that that strategy is also embedded and further entrenched by the executive coming out of the first month, that we needed to be part of the adopted support structure, which includes all of the support biological products, the political products, the support group, and the National Federal Marketing Council, and the TRC Council. And that we need to find these particular organizations to say, if we combine our resources and knowledge, some of the issues that are being raised can be resolved in terms of skills, in terms of resources, in terms of just the business market, to be able to do more, which is a desired effect in terms of accelerating issues around development. And we do believe that the institutions in the bank have played in terms of going to developing farmers, and we have to do going forward because the knowledge base is there and we need to accept this as a knowledge base. We have also noted that given the fact that the nature of the feedback has changed, particularly around co-ops and some of them seeming to aggregate, the challenge is going to be working with the current co-ops and trying to meet those targets within ourselves The other side is going to be setting up new co-ops to the new, what's called the direction to assist them to deliver the product of the land bank to the people in the rural area. We needed to find an actual space of where we actually want to play. Historically, we have had some off-the-shelf products like retail and wholesale, and then I looked further along the value chain, and I think we need to start looking at that. In terms of the digital corporate strategy, we talked about the sector having to be competitive. We also have decided that the niche for the bank lies in the intermediate within the value chain in the country, and maybe initially there, and maybe one can look down the road in terms of your product and your product needs towards the product and the next subject for itself. This is later on the expense in the self-organization. The DFI network and the structure we are investing in working with include provincial, local and other international agencies, include local NGOs, local banks, which have developed with them, maybe can do business with them. And all of the projects that are there and other DFIs should go to assist us in delivering the land bank products. We need to look totally to engage with the development of rural areas, in total rural area issues and agenda, to be able to make sure that we fully invest where it's necessary and we are able to get the biggest impact for investment. And we need to keep our eye totally on the understanding of policy and how we create that understanding with the standing problem of government to be able to be relevant at all times, to be able to deliver what we need to be developing and opportunities that are coming out of development developers. We need to start looking at developing appropriate products that are going to be able to assess appropriate needs and things at the right time. For example, the livestock products should be aligned to livestock production cycles. Crop ones must be aligned to crop production cycles so that we don't get farmers to change somehow in terms of saying they need to be able to build some much quality impact in their own much quality of life. We need to align the institution to government objectives of economic empowerment, agricultural development, and poverty alleviation with the regions as possible, and that's what we'll be looking at. And in terms of trying to do that, we're beginning to say that given the very chain of markets, we need to be flexible to play where the impact is most felt and where the impact can actually start bringing in turnarounds in terms of business communities and poor people. Being able to participate in their chains and other parts of the system, not only on the primary side of things. We have had our own dreams and put our thinking caps and came up with models that we can look at. These models we have bound with the other whole players because the assumptions of the models itself is that the other players need to be on board. We have spoken to government at all levels. We continue to engage our various government institutions and the private sector institutions to say what if and what if we put things like in a sense like on the slide there on the aligning government and activities, for example, using the dairy industry, to say that if we foster this particular way, could we? And I think that some of these things have been done somewhere, and we're getting positive feedback to say that yes, if we did that, we'll be able to deal with this particular issue that are together. For example, there are areas where things may be very important for government and the land bank exercise. And this conversation may not allow you to operate there. We are thinking about in that particular space, we are then able to communicate with other institutions, bring them on board, and be able to address the national issues while you're not engaging the development and your imperatives to make the country move forward, including jobs and other issues. We are looking at levels where we know that at some level, commercial farmers are going to be. Those we are dealing with basically on a commercial level, and so it should be nothing but probably issues around banking involved in there. But the majority of the people now being trying to bring on board are going to be relying on those zone one and zone two of the Serapis City on the same. And these are basically the people who are emerging from the trauma because it's from the lower bottom. And this is said, the success of this particular model is going to lie in how we align with government and other people. And how we can leverage on the grant of government or government programs to be able to take us forward to move people into the commercial zone. And here, the issues around subsistence, emerging, and commercial really have nothing to do with color, but the fact that the agriculture is a business, and we need to be able to graduate our farmers from one level to the other. The entire cost, therefore, is the one that you see on this particular graph that says that if you have three beings that actually symbolized or presented this particular tree for me, which we made in the format on the left, made in the middle. And your vision was towards commercial. The third bean on the right hand should be growing, feeling up, and you should actually be emptying the first bean and the second bean. If you do that, then you probably are making irreversible development gains in terms of jobs, economic issues, and making people's lives much better. That is where we headed. In terms of that as well, we're saying that we needed to be looking at ourselves in a very different property structure, where the lending structure should be around how you bring in your insurance company, land bank, insurance company, LBIC, to start looking at issues of risk mitigation for products and small enterprises in terms of insurance, and making sure that these particular people are also protected as the elements, as the elements play a very, very great part in terms of the flexibility of the project. Sometimes we plan, we do everything, but the last part tends to also include the player, because that's where you have more control in terms of where you're going forward to. We're still looking at the commercial activities, if you remember the slides, a few slides back around the commercial issues of the commercial farmer. But we are here, we're looking at the level of the size and the risk portfolio we want to get ourselves into. I think we're looking at 15% of that capital adequacy, and the fees therefore are going to be 10% in the commercial terms and 15% in the development space. And last but not least, we are looking at something called corporate development, and this may include other issues and measures that are going to be used in order to try and assist emerging farmers in terms of price, trading methodologies, and other issues to make sure that people don't borrow too much money and then at the end cannot even be able to recoup within the production cost at the end of the project. And therefore we bring them under rather than what you call it bring them up to the function cost. So we need to be able to look at that particular phase and say we need to provide our clients at all levels and all what you call it the production system. The guiding principle for this particular kind of thing is that all projects are then actually in other words, you are pushed to every project is on the submission phase. Whether it's a ground element to create participation, it's actually assuming a blockchain. People should take it as business because it's very, very important for us to include our people in the business processes about the culture. But the organization should need to be jealous enough to guard against your plans and be able to follow those from the beginning to the end so that you are able to set up a thinking and so that you are able to see whether you need to review anything you can review it, if you need it to be taken from the book somewhere, you are able to do that so that people understand what the role that plan manufacturing is playing in their lives. The partnerships, I can't overemphasize, the partnership with family organizations, your family estates, your NAFUs, your women organizations, youth organizations, everyone needs to be involved. You need to use the particular seeds of the people and their own passion for the sector to be able to say they could be put together fine answers. And I think that's going to be the key thing going forward, even within the government itself, whether at the local or provincial or national level. We need to look very, very seriously now at our relationship with other DFIs, DSA, and the commercial bank. And I think as a collective, we need to meet once in a while, once a year, and every year, we've all been tired of what it is that we need to do as the organs and be able to start enhancing this particular direction to make sure that development takes place and development does truly become a way of life. We are an organization, I think, that also needs to be held accountable for what we do, and we need to be able to communicate with our people and everybody else in terms of where we need to be, what you call it, accounting. And we are setting ourselves accounting in here as well. I think we need to be asked and should report under in terms of this particular idea, what you call it, development imperative. And you're saying that employment creation can maintain for that particular employment and be cheap going forward. How many people live from this thousand in moving forward? How many of the agri-bee transactions are we completing per annum of the camp which should be reported on a regular basis? We need to look at the percentage of that development book over the next 3 years, whether it's growing or it's stagnant or it's not working. We need to look at the performance of the particular book as well, as well as for providing of financial services to the sector, but more importantly, for development to be embedded and to be a sustainable thing, it needs to be geographically widespread to be able to advance not only a skill participation, but a totally visible system that allows all other people in the country to be part of. In going forward, Jefferson, Mr. Maguire again, we need to develop in for this particular business model implementation plan that are going to be what's called a key milestone for the short term, medium term, and long term. We need to be putting in operational financial strategies that must be finalized by the end of November 2007. And of course, given the outcomes of other processes elsewhere, we need then to develop mechanisms for how we're going to deal with those moving forward and be able to embed the system that the institution is in the new process. Mr. Maduari, Chairperson, with your permission, if I can take a break here and all of my colleagues, to talk to the Bank for the Land Bank. Thank you.
I think it was going to be our CFO who are going to present the next few slides on the budget because of the corporate plan and then together with the budget.
Thank you, Chair. I think you we do the budget in your opinion 12 months ahead, but this time around we doing this budget 6 months before the next budget is due. So you're going to find that actually changing the model midway through the financial year. So most of what's going to happen in this year is going to be what has already been happening, the old model. But we can tweak it towards what's going to happen going forward. So with that in mind, you're going to find that this year there's not much that's going to change in the financial numbers because the momentum was already there on the old model. So we're changing towards the new. So only about 300 million rand is going to be done on development in the current financial year. And then the space is going to pick up to 1 billion rand a year after that and 2 billion rand. Where we came up with this 3.3 billion rand, it comes from the 700 million rand injection that the government will be giving. Because 700 million rand, if you saw the CEO's presentation before, he showed that 20% the capital adequacy is going to be 20%. So the money that is going to be coming from the government side, from land bank side, whenever we do this development loan, is going to be 20%. The 20% capital adequacy. So that's 700 divided by 0.2 is coming to about 2.5. So we will be funding 20%, which was part of the problem why the bank previously did not do development. Because we didn't have our own money to do that part. So that's the man that talks to that. It's ring fence, that capital injection is ring fence for development. That's where the 2.5 going forward is going to be funded. The rest of the money is going to be coming from the financial market.
If we look at the numbers, they reflect very much more the SPs. Not much is changing the old business model. We talk to how we've already done things. But as the year goes by, towards the end, it's changing. The full impact of the new model you are going to see in the next financial year. And we'll be coming to the committee to present the new budget in February. It's always due in February. So the next 3 years, you're going to see a full impact of the new model. But this current financial year, not much is going to change because we're already 6 months away from the financial year end. If we look at the key ratios, not much has changed, as I said. Net interest income is the same as what we expect the numbers going to be. I don't want to dwell a lot on the numbers for the current financial year because we'll be coming here within the next month, October, to present the financial numbers for the year that ended in March, which we'll have a finalizing. So we'll spend quite a bit of time then taking you through what has happened in the past 12 months of lending and collect how we've done in previous years. So we'll do that in October when we have to present the financial numbers. So not much is going to change in terms of the numbers because the timing of where we are in the financial year. Normally you do your budget 12 months before, and then you talk about how the year is going to be, but right now we're changing the model at the middle of the financial year. So not much is going to change on the numbers.
what confidence do you have that this model would be funded?
No, actually, the government has committed 700 million rand to lending. That 700 million rand is going to be ring-fenced all of it for development. So that is why I'm saying, if you take that and we assume, normally, if you look at commercial banks, they've got a capital adequacy of 10%, so they use only 10% of their money to lend out to clients. The rest of it they go from the financial market. What we're doing here, we're taking a bigger part. We say we put not 10%, but we put 20% of our own money when we fund the development loan. And then that together with the other support that you're going to get from the other programs of the Department of Agriculture, we'll be able to cushion off together with the insurance that Dr. Phil was talking about, we'll be able to cushion off the support that we're going to give to the development farmers. So the money is there. That's 7 million, that's where we're going to choose the development.
That's another question. What's your previous capital adequacy?
Right now we're sitting at 6%. It's around 6%. So what has happened is that because the lending has got low capital, so it was difficult then to go and use that capital to do development. Because we didn't even have 10% of our own money. For every rent that LendBank lent out, more than 90 cents was from the financial market. Now, what we're saying, when we get that 700, that 700 is going to be ring-fenced for development. And 20 cents of every rent that will be lent out will be coming from that 700. So we'll leverage it out through the multiplier effect.
So,
I think
members left the presentation, questions and comments. Dr.
Van Nicker. Thank you. To be here, we appreciate your attendance here today. And thank you again for the presentation by LendBank. This is a long view and to come. I actually don't know really where to start in terms of what I would like to say and to inquire from LendBank. But first, let's start at the new strategy. Now, this new strategy, was this now basically from the thinking of the land bank itself, or was this strategy an instruction from the shareholder of the land bank, mainly government? Did you get a new instruction to switch from the normal or the historic action of land bank to become a more developing bank? And in terms of that, what guarantees, in terms of the developing bank, have been given up to now? Because if I look at the moment at the finances of the land bank, it cannot operate without a 1.5 billion guarantee given by government just to secure. So I'd like to have some assurance to what extent and what instructions did you really get from government, and according to which plan you were in. Then, the ability to implement what this new strategy is, I also have a number of questions. If I look at your previous statement, your previous annual report, then there are some problems which you did not really address. What you presented today is, I will do, and we will do, but the seriousness of the land bank financial position was not, to my mind, addressed. You can have a good wish list now, but in the end, if you do not have money to continue, and this is what I'm afraid is going to happen to land bank, for the following reasons. If we look at land bank in terms of its role and where it finance that comes from. LandBank traditionally got its money from lending out money and then getting interest on that money. That was done to the commercial sector of the farming industry. Now, what happened to LandBank is in the last 5 years, LandBank loaned out in the past about 9 billion rand, it is down to 5 billion rand now. Whereas the commercial banks have taken over that loan from LandBank. Now, 2001, they had about 13 billion rand, they're up to 21 billion rand. Now what happens is that the commercial sector, the commercial bank has taken over the debt clients of the agricultural sector and left you with a more vulnerable side of the loan book, which has got a higher risk. Now, if you continue to write off money as you have been continuing doing this with higher risk loans, where are you going to get the money to finance? So you're running into difficulty. Furthermore, the capital of the lender in the last 5 years, four years, has declined from basically 3 billion to 1 billion. And if it hadn't been for the government to bail you out, you would have been sequestrated in terms of what the actual bank score you are. So, yes, I hear all your plans, but now how do you implement the plan? I understand that your top structure has been replaced totally, but that all the top positions have not been filled. You had about 3 CEOs in the last 3 years, everyone basically with a new instruction. If we look at the and how we are going to look at risk management in Europe, I understand that originally there were about 300 people setting the risk factor on the ground level of the land banks, loans and activities. Of those 300 people, only about 30 are left. How are you going to secure your risk at ground level? How are you going to interact if 40% of the positions in land bank have not been filled? How are you going to make sure that when you give money to somebody to invest in agriculture, that it is properly invested and it is secured, because you have assets which you have to protect? Then I find that when assets are, or when, and if I look at many of the developing projects up to now that you have been involved with, all of a sudden come to a standstill. Why? Because that land bank have the expertise within its personnel to go out and look exactly what's happening at ground level, or do they depend on other departments in the hope that they will do it? And when a project falls or cannot come, then in landing gives an instruction that no action should be taken to developing projects, and that no securing of the assets has to be taken. And I asked that question to the minister, and she said, and the answer was that they do go out and look at the protecting of the assets. But if you've got no personnel, and I can give you many examples of land bank actions that should have taken place, and in the end the assets just disappeared in blue thin air, and then land bank has got nothing. So my question to you, and I can continue in the sense, I really doubt your ability to really come into operation and to keep this land bank afloat, because certainly you do not have the capital to do it. I want assurance from you that you have the assurance from government to step in for the developmental side, which is the high risk side, and that you have the necessary personnel in place to continue to keep the land bank doors open.
Can I take the minister first and Tim Lembeck will respond to some of the questions?
Thank you very much, first of all, I would like to tell Mr. Van Niekerk that we actually in this mess because of the apartheid government. The apartheid government never cared or bothered to develop imaging of black farmers in South Africa. And if he, as Minister of Agriculture of apartheid, had ever bothered to assist the majority of the people in this country, we wouldn't be in this kind of trouble. Well, I think Mr. Van Niekerk must start at the beginning. When the land bank was set up, it was meant to actually empower poor whites in South Africa. It was meant to actually help them get access to land that was forcefully removed from our people. It is this land bank that gave loans of up to 65 years to wife. You would serve as a farmer for 30 years, and your son after you take over, and your grandson, so that land can remain in white hands in South Africa. Secondly, we are dealing with capital. I think in those days, yes, the capital, the apartheid government gave money. We had the credit board where people who could not pay for their farms were actually bailed out by government funds. White people. Through the credit board. No. The whole matter is political. You spoke for a very long time yet, and were given time.
You are speaking for the chair.
The chance to answer?
And I also want to say that, yes, we are looking at our skills, we are looking at our management, we are doing a skills audit. We will see whether we are overstaffed or we are understaffed. And then we will redeploy people, and we will also make sure that new staff is put in place where it is needed. Over and above, Mr. Fanike, to come to your first question, was there instructions from the shareholder? I think Mr. Fanike, you must read the Agriculture and Land Bank Act of 2002 and hear for yourself what the mandate of the land bank is. And if you know what the mandate of the land bank is, you will realize that priority there is development. In the Land Bank Act that was passed by this parliament, of which you are a member. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Minister. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Chairperson, and
just to say that it is not true. It is actually untrue that three CEOs have been engaged by the Land Bank in the last 3 years. Mr. Alan Mugogi was employed in 2004, that is 3 years ago. He has therefore served 3 years as CEO of the Land Bank. His resignation notice ended on the 31st of August, 2007. So you can calculate for yourself. Please don't mislead Parliament, don't mislead the nation.
Thank you, Christian, to that, Jim.
Let the questions be responded to. And if there are follow-up questions, then we'll look at that.
But he said it with his own mouth that there have been three CEOs in 3 years in the Land Bank.
Let's accept that response. If what he says, he thinks is correct, if he has got a follow-up comment to make sure we make it in the next round.
Thank you, I think probably most of the questions have probably been answered. There may be some others. I think one of the questions was what guarantees have been given today by the government. I think there's always been the support and government support for the bank and the mandate and the role that it needs to play in agriculture has never wavered, and it's been unequivocal. Certainly in the last 3 years there have been the letters of undertaking in support of the bank, and there's been additional more direct capital injection support from the bank, and certainly from the board there is, we have absolutely no doubt that government is determined to support the bank to fulfill its mandate.
Chairperson, again, thank you. The issue about the vacancies, I think, is one issue I would like to address now. We work in a very fluid organization. From time to time, we look into our mandates and see whether we are relevant to trying to address issues. We are also an organization that's always going to be on a learning curve. we, as we develop new strategies, we also need to look into the requirements of those strategies. The, how do you actually find the strategies, how do you actually craft the strategies, and how actually do you take the learnership. The strategy, I think, is also an accumulation of the learning points that are coming from our involvement with the course. We've heard the course for many years, the entire working with them for the intermediary, and I still have many, many ways. And as well as in the utility area, the involvement of the, what you call it, other role players, to be critically developing strategies, and I think there's a consensus among us as professionals on the ground that this is something we can all do, and we can do it together if we work with the team. And we're looking forward to that particular way going forward. The issue around the thinking of the bank itself, I think it's an issue coming out of the Act, the Cloud Commission, and of course, time to time, any organization must look at itself and look at organizing something new. I think it's very, very important that we look at those particular issues and be able to do that particular thing. The land bank modus operandi has always been through working with other people. And I think the staff levels in the offices not necessarily tell the truth of what is happening on the ground. Because where we are short, we augment ourselves with the capacities of others. We have said in this particular presentation that we will engage again in further certain relationships with co-ops, government, NGOs, and other facilities of organizations to be able to move us forward. The risk in this development chapter is real, but it's also an area where I think we need to venture in. But if you look into, as I said, the indicator that there has always been government support, we have learned a lot in how we can basically engage in this particular direction. And I think we need to be there. And we are quite aware of the people that are going to be there. The guiding light for us is to be put into what we do, to learn from what the best practice, and to be able to help as much as possible. But actually going there, because not going into the development phase would not necessarily mean that we're getting what we're supposed to set up to do. The linkages commercial banks, I think, is very, very critical. If we take it from that particular level that we need to have relationships with particular people, then we realize that the more people you can graduate from the land bank system into the commercial system, you have been successful. So I think the key issue is that we are not bank in the true sense of the word bank. We are a bank with a special purpose, and I think we use that purpose sometimes. We play in the space we're not supposed to be playing in, as a banker, and therefore start chasing the so-called cream de la cream of clients. I think that's not the main objective. And the main objective is to create from the people at the lower ranks, turn them into the cream de la cream, and let them have some easy economic growth for the country. I don't think that's good.
Yes, I think that's
good.
Two more to that. Was that just in response about commercial banks having taken the best clients? I think the true role of the development finance institution should never be really to compete with commercial actors. The reality is that the role of development finance institutions ought to be to play the role of sorting out where there is a market failure, where the market isn't able to assist people, and that's really what the role of a DFI should be. And then just one other thing on the strategy of the bank. I think, as the Minister correctly points out, it's well clear and articulated in the Land Bank Act objective, and the commercial economic reality about development is that it needs to be driven by capital, and cannot only be driven by debt. And the fact is that it does need to be accelerated, and that there's clearly a great need for it to happen. And the role of the bank is to do that and to accelerate it in fulfilling that objective.
What
is
Chief Financial Officer?
To talk to the reduction in the land bank capital over the years. Land bank, I think the business bureau of chartered accountants introduced the standard called 8133, which later on we adopted the international accounting standard, IS-39 standard, where we have to fair value our loans to make sure that in order for us to continue to comply with international accounting standards. And before that, the South African accounting standards. So what happened about 4 years ago was that whereas in the past the debtors of land banks, the auditors and management will negotiate just like they did with any other bank. If you remember the Nedbank, what happened with Nedbank also around that time was that they had to put through a lot of provisions because whereas they could negotiate with their auditors before in terms of what the provision was going to be, these new international accounting standards require that you sell value your assets. So what then happened was that when you look at the debt of land bank, the debtors of land bank, you have to sit down and look at the fair valuation of these assets. As a result of that, loans that have been done many years ago have to be fair valued and we have to take big knocks. So that's what wiped out the capital of land bank. Because as we put through these provisions, we have to put them through the income statement or from retained earnings. As a result of that, we would then wipe out all the capital that has been built up on land bank. What that means is that many years ago, some years ago, the profit that we were booking at land bank on the interest that we were charging on these loans was not clear. Because all you were doing then, you were just reversing that those profits that we had shown. In some years, we showed that we were doing well. Now, later on, when these people are not paying, you're reversing that. That's all we need, because it talks to the quality of the loans that we done some years ago. So they have to be reversed. That's why it wiped out the capital of land banks. It was not many various things that happened in the last 3 years. It's things that happened many years ago. But in order for us to abide by the international accounting standards, we have to invest those loans. That's what wiped the capital. And now the government, to try and stabilize this side, because earlier on when I spoke, I said the 700 million rand is going to be used to do this side, the development side. That 1.5 is stabilizing this other side of the book. That's the current local lending. Because 3 years ago, I joined the bank in January 2005. Immediately when I joined the bank, we had to go to Treasury to negotiate that 1.5 billion rand guarantee so that we could stabilize the commercial side of the bank. So it was very much more because of those provisions that had to be put through. So 1.5 is taking care of the commercial side, and 700 is taking care of the development side.
Honorable, I'm not sure if it's BC or BC. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, first of all, we welcome you in this committee. And hope the spirit which has been prevailing before you will continue. This is a good committee which is not, in most cases, talking politics, but developmental. Chairperson, some time back, Land Bank talked about Shanduka Project, which was a strategy or a turnaround strategy. Now with this new project we are talking, or this new project with strategy we are talking about today, would it be related or unrelated to that Shanduka? Or would it be something new to remove Shanduka? Well, I think a little bit the other question that's been addressed was, I've got a problem with the levels of the cash holding of the bank. It used to be about 3 billion, but it dropped at some stage to about 1 billion. But I think that one has been addressed, and I won't ask a question on that one. Now, Chairperson, we talk about an acting CEO. Are we best able to say when he started and when we think he will stop acting? On page 2 of the presentation, on the first slide, commercial, emerging, and subsistence farmers. What criteria do we use to say this one now has grown, he is no longer a subsistence farmer? He is an emerging farmer,
This one now, Jordan Land Emerging Farmer, is a commercial farmer. Then on page 3, mention is made of expectations from the commercial farmers and I think all the farmers. Now my question would be, why in the presentation there's nothing about the expectations of farmers to get relief during the drought season? For instance, as we speak now, the Eastern Cape, especially the area which was the transferred government, is ravaged by drought. The cattle are dying each day, and we don't see anything happening towards helping these people. Do we have any strategies to help these people in times of drought? On page 14, the last one, Chairperson, what was the time? On page 14, Chairperson, that is the budget. The budget, Chairperson, I must comment by saying that it's a little bit problematic because, first of all, we are told that the expenditure, the detailed expenditure will follow. And it is difficult really to talk to this budget because so many is too abridged. It doesn't really give us time and strength to read it and make something out of it. But the budget is made, Chairperson, there's an interest expense. What could that be? Would it be interest for the loans incurred by the bank? And why do we incur these loans? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairman. Perhaps I could answer the first two questions. Sorry, just to try and answer that, I just want to try and call up the first slide. But in essence, the turnaround strategy, we had given a name to it as a bank, and it was called the Sanduka Project. So the turnaround strategy and the Sanduka Project they are one and the same. And what we were saying was that what the new model is really focusing to address as a component called capital and the revenue and cost, so that the first four items of the Sanduka project remain relevant, which is the people, the systems, processes, the risk, the brand, and the image. Is that those work that has been implemented and continues to be implemented, and a lot of it is seeking to address exactly some of the concerns that are not only being raised here today for the first time, but have been addressed in the past as well. The next question was then the acting CEO. I think as the minister had mentioned, Mr. McCorkey then left with effect from the end of August, I think it was. And what we realized that in formulating this new business model, it became important for us to ensure that when we get the next CEO, that it's somebody who has the experience, skill, and the ability to deliver this type of developmental focus mandate. And I think the process is pretty much starting now, and we're hoping that the acting appointment will not be much longer than 3 months or so. But it is going to depend how soon we can persuade someone to join the bank. And then I think there were some the other questions on this slide. Two, which are listed. I can see your speaking.
Well, thanks, Chairman. I think the other question is related to the criteria on the classification of the various farmer groups. And then the other one was the around expectations around relief during drought. And drought relief, I think the other ones were about that, and I'm going to have to put it again to come in a first question to deal with that. Chairperson, through you again, Morbius proposed that has got three levels, and those three levels basically are aligned to the farmer income space. The food security people, we know those people are the people without employment in the rural areas who actually have no other form of income. And these are the people we believe are going to be the very, very same group that's going to be taking the majority of our resources now, because if we can make an impact there, we are moving them up. Second level is these people who may have an operation that is handicapped by either the ownership of land or some other resource that makes them completely independent to be able to be self-sustaining in terms of bankability and other issues. We are going to look at those particular people in terms of what they are. In our agreement with the government, particularly the Department of Agriculture and Affairs, we're going to look at those particular people in terms of their needs, whether they have finished, what they should have taken out of government first, and what issues could be bring on to that. The other people are the people who are already in the agricultural business and do require production and reaching loans from time to time, either to improve their production or to engage in higher production levels or all these particular issues. We are going to look at those two as long as they fall within a certain criteria where they have not actually established themselves as a good stable business before they can be, if you allow it, for it to be cherry picked. So that is what we're going to see how the process going to be. But I think for the key thing for the bank is to say you need to spread your resources in such a way that you don't provide exposure on one hand, but you have enough exposure to be able to make impact in a lot of more people, even though the risks are there and are real. On the issue of drought, I think drought relief is an issue that has been done by the Department of Agriculture. And if they are going to be doing drought relief, and just to participate, we'll assist whatever way we can in terms of our new agreement. And basically, that's where we take our cue.
If I can come in on the last two. Mr. Dupuis, on the issue of the what interest expense is, the bank borrows the money that it lends out. So it has to pay interest on the money that it borrows. So that interest expense is the interest that we have to pay to the people we borrow the money from. And then on the other issue, Mr. Dupuis, of the budget. When I was doing the presentation, I said, if you look at the 2008 budget, the one to the period ending March next year, because we're changing the model midway through, we are 6 months away from March. So what is going to happen is that you're going to find that a lot of things are not going to change that much from how we've done things. But we'll be coming back to the committee now, Honorable Mr. Dupuis. We'll be coming back to this committee normally at the beginning of March. I think it's normally end of March, because on the 28th of February, we have to submit a budget for the next 3 years, which will be the 2008, 2009 year, 2010 year. So for those 3 years, we have to come back to this committee within the next 6 months to give them information on the next 3 years. There will be more meat in terms of, we've got the model right now. We've done some norms around the model, but now we're doing detailed work to just check how we deliver on the money. So, those numbers will be coming. There will be much more details to the numbers when we come back in the beginning of March.
Thanks. We'll come back to you. But I'm sure the question about this classification, I'm not sure if it's my level of ignorance that was unable to understand what you were saying. But I suppose it does not really. You can just deal with that before number six.
It's on the same question, because all I'm really what I want in terms of the level, I thought they were going to say when one has got 1 million.
I think the point
is arrived. Then the second one, I wanted a follow up on the Sanduka.
No, the follow up we'll come back to that.
Thank you, sir.
So I just wanted to ensure that the question has been properly understood, because I have said the way God responded to our notification.
Let me repeat for my own clarity. My understanding of the question was, how do you classify the people from one level to the other? In other words, how would you classify as a African farmer in terms of resources? How would you classify, in this regard, an emerging farmer in terms of resources and a commercial farmer in terms of resources? Really, I need to get that one.
That was the question, but the answer must also speak to those.
So, as I was saying, sir, and I'm looking now at the slide which I've projected on the table, and maybe I need to do this with the help of another slide, if I'm allowed to.
Hello?
So this slide here, probably where our form comes from, no matter where we present. This slide seems to indicate that we are going to put the we need to then explain how you move people from one bowl to the other and to the other. This slide, for the presentation point of view, it's really there to be able to explain the current posture and how our resources are being utilized.
Can you think on that question? Look, I'm a farmer in some parts of Eastern Cape. I want to just last time. What kind of a good? So we'll come back to that. Honorable Ms. Nkuna.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the Land Bank for the information that you have given to us. I'm having short questions. First one, Honorable Chair, is in relation to the 700 million rand that the department is going to inject into the budget of the land. And then the 700 million rand is earmarked for development. One would like to know that in the land bank assisting the Department of Agriculture in development activities, what exactly, how do they foresee this 700 million rand assisting in their development? Which area is it going to take after a person is given the land? And then the second question is about the land bank and the non-governmental organizations, their relationship. Do the non-governmental organizations, you know, where do they report that? They report back to the land bank or to the community that they are assisting, or to where they collect the funding. One would like to get the clarity there. And then lastly, Chairperson, is on the question of the land bank having to come back to us in 6 months' time to give us some more information. And then the numbers in most cases are still going to be the same. There won't be any change. If maybe 70,000 was used for a telephone account, it might be more or less the same. One would like to know that what mechanism is the land bank having in ensuring that these numbers do not change? For instance, to be direct, how do you control your telephone bill? Thank you, Honorable Chair.
CEO or Chairman?
Perhaps I could ask the CFO of the
The 200 million rand is going to be a ring fence for development. Now, development takes a various forms. If you look at the people talk to AgriDB, some of it will be used for us. Some of it will be used for emerging black farmers together with the grant so that we make sure that we sort of assist the emerging farmers, to the commercial farmers. So some of that might work with them, but when it goes, we'll make sure that we've got insurances in place to make sure that you'll receive the rest of losing that money. But insurances in place, we've got the grant. sort of try and understand. So it will be a combination of various forms of development. Then, in talking to the telephone bills, there's a direct relationship between telephone bills and the business that you create. So, for instance, you may find that our staff will be phoning the client to try and make business, to try and make contacts, and there may be an increase in the business. So, you can't look at one number in isolation. It affects a couple of other numbers. And maybe you have someone phoning clients, but it's not closing. But every 10 clients that you phone, you only receive one of them, one to take a loan from you. You look at it closely and monitor it, but you also can't look at it in isolation. You have to look at it together with other numbers. So these numbers are forecasts of what you think will be.
Thank you. If I could just on the 700 million that we're saying was earmarked, was if we were to look as an example on the Zone 2, the emerging farmer, what the thinking there is that of the 100 rand, for example, that we'll be needing, is 40 of it will be coming from grants, and then 60 of it will be coming from loans. So the 700 will be helping to fund that 60 rand out of the 100. Is it whatever it is that the particular farmer is engaged in. And then I think there was a question about NGO.
Okay, thanks, Chair of the Committee and Chair of the Board. Just quickly, in terms of the classification, they were not put in terms of the 10 overs of the company. Because depending on what sector you're in agriculture, 10 over may mark the performance of the company. For example, if you have a small plot that does roses and the 10 over is a million, it makes the profit of the company compared to someone who does maize on a big scale. So the classification there really is in terms of those grants. Because we're saying the subsistence would be those that require 100% grants who can survive as a business if a portion of their funding is in the form of a loan. And then the emerging ones, which is the ones that require a certain level of debt and a certain level of equity of their own. So depending on the grant structure you put, that would be your emerging farmers. The commercial ones would be the ones that can have 100% loans and they can afford that. So, and then the one beyond that is in terms of the concentration risk limits of the land bank, which is 25% of capital in reserve. So if someone is looking for a loan beyond 750 million, if it's based on a 3 billion capital of the bank, those are people then that would either have to look at the commercial banks, or if the land bank funds those projects, it would be funding them with other institutions, so it would be co-financed. So basically the evaluation there in terms of who falls in what category would depend on the kind of debt requirement that they ask for in the land bank, whether it's 100% loan finance or whether it's a portion of a grant or fully in terms of a grant. So it's not a loan.
When we started, I had few hands. Now I see there are more hands. So what I will do, we'll just take all the hands and just take note of all the questions and comments that are made. Then you can respond to those afterwards. So I'm just going to take all the hands. Honorable Mel, will be followed by Honorable Dali, Honorable Abrams, and Malika.
Thank you, Chair. It's really unfortunate that the Minister reverted to politics this morning. I don't mind if you do that in the House, but here we're looking for solutions. And there is no question, sir, that the development financial institution is of the most importance for emerging agriculture in South Africa. But what I don't understand is that the land bank also wants to form a commercial well as the development role that they should play. I don't know if that is possible. Commercially, one treats risk by asking higher interest rates for higher risk. Development, in essence, needs lower interest rates. Soft loans, but the risk is usually higher. How do you plan to bring these two things together, also in the light of your capital adequacy that stands at 7% at the moment, and you yourself said that it should be at least 20% plus? Can you please enlighten us on that? And then the second question is about the forensic audit that was, the investigation that was done in the land bank. There were people retreat. And we want to know what was happening there and if this report will be made public. Thank you very much.
Honorable Kali.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. This is Yasu Porto. Join my commentary, please, of congratulating you and welcoming you.
Chairperson, on a point of course.
I should draw the attention of my brother briefly in terms of the definition of comrades in the Oxford Dictionary. That is very clear. I thought I was referring to that definition. Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, my first question is in relation to the issue that was raised by the first comrade, the crying Panika.
Yeah,
brother. Oh, brother Panika, because in fact, if I'm looking at the act itself, definitely there's no doubt about the fact that the act of the land bank act, it does address each of the development of that. That your specific core mandate is for you to develop the agricultural sector, nothing else. But having said that, you raised the issue on, let's go to page 8 first of the presentation. Page 8, under your responder, the subject report, that the institution has historically played a role in aggressive reform and the expectations are still the same. I want you to address us in terms of expectations. I'm sure the expectations that you've listed here from page 3 to page 4, if you are still saying these are the same expectations as compared to page 8, that you can elaborate in terms of how are you intending to meet these expectations, one? And two, if these expectations have not been met previously, as you are saying that are still the same, how do you intend to rectify whatever has happened not meeting these expectations? In particular, of course, you are saying on page 4, job creation and rural development. Is that even saying on same page that the bank should do for them what it did historically? That refers to small scale farmers. What it did historically. Historically, I suppose, it means that the commercial farmers today, who are commercial farmers, were then held to be where they are today. I'm raising this issue, Chairperson, because we are in the 13 years of democracy. I'm sure now we should be able to say to ourselves, that we've been able to meet at least half of our expectations. If today we have not even met half of our expectations, for the next 10 to 13 years, just please advise us how I intend to deal with that particular situation. The other issue that I want to address here, if you allow me, is on page, I think page 6. Page 6 of the slide, under the indicator, the last bullet there under the indicator, service of business imperative, you raise an issue that improves access by rural people to services of land bank. I'm raising this issue because you know the commercial banks, how they market themselves. They market themselves in such a way that even if you don't want a project, you tempted to go to that project. I want them to know from yourself, how are you in marketing yourself? But if you talk about the access in terms of the rural poor, I wonder if is there any in terms of the villages where I think my goals come from, whether they are indentured children or children that should not say children, where it comes from, if in fact people there they know the land bank. Go to the villages, I don't think they know anything about the land bank. What they know is the land bank and FNB, check in rural areas and not even net bank for that matter. So I just want to know in terms of this, how are you going to make sure that you are accessible to those that they are in need of you? I'm raising therefore in terms of the expectation that is in the text of page 3 and 4. The other issue here, or that I want you to address, is in terms of the repair budget. Your response was to say you'll come back to us in terms of the next 3 years. But I thought that maybe you will need to elaborate for us in terms of what have you done in the past few months? Because as you are saying that you came to us in the middle of your financial year, so to speak. But if I'm looking at page 14 and of course read with page 15. It doesn't tell me much as such. You know, really, it doesn't tell me much. I'm not tracking. Maybe it's my ignorance in terms of raising here the figures. Maybe I'm not good in raising figures. It doesn't give you much exactly in terms of understanding yourself. Don't come very clear to me. Let me end there. Maybe I'll the last point, under your expectation, development for them should not be just about killing the soil. That's what page 4. Now, if you are hitting that bullet point there, maybe it's the best way for me to understand you where you are coming from. If you were to say to me, for example, that you have got farm A, farm B, and farm C, which have been able to deal with this particular issue, not only the killing of the soil, but make sure that they are productive in whatever they do. Which again takes me to the issue of, we have referred one of the slides around OPP, PPD, EP, and others. And how are you interacting and talking to these various institutions? And also in terms of the one of your slides referred to the extension and other issues, how do you leave yourself in the agriculture in the department, so that we need this, we see that there is this integration between yourself and agriculture after the letter is given to whoever, they know that the agriculture kicks in, and then the letter affairs rate needs to be kicked in, the process in terms of the rural area, your land care, which is one of the problems in terms of the village in the rural area, that the land is deteriorating on a daily basis, the land care doesn't seem to be coming in. So in terms of this, how do you intend to make sure that there's a clear integration between these structures of
compensation? I thought to consistent with your comment, you have been brief. Nevertheless, let's ask each other in terms of time. Honorable Abram, then Manager for.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wish to congratulate all of you also. May you enjoy a very fruitful, eventful, and an interesting term as Chairperson of this committee, which is basically concerned with seeing that there's food on the table. Chairperson, since we have the advantage of the Honorable Minister amongst us, and after having heard the land bank presentation as well as the questions which many of our colleagues have come forward with, I think we need to tell the Honorable Minister that the land bank's mandate should be simplified. The Act provides too wide a range of things that the bank is expected to do. And if we wish to attain what we expect the land bank to do, then there will have to be increased shareholder funding and, of course, a very simplified mandate. Now, Chairperson, having said this, I have a couple of questions. Many of our colleagues have referred to the whole issue of the budget. As it is presented in front of us, I look forward to a presentation at some stage or the other. It does not have to be only an annual one. If it's a six-monthly one too, it would help us because one can see trends and identify trends. And Chairperson, what we need to have is, well, we need to interrogate, for example, these overall figures that we see here. For example, I take it that the figures in brackets on page 14 are sort of expenses, or they also represent a negative figure. Now, one needs to know why, for example, the actual 2007, which is, I suppose, 31st of March this year, beginning 1st April 2006, where has this operating expense overrun of 462 million come from? Why have we had to spend interest expenses to the tune of 1.279 billion, I think. One needs to find the reason for that. And the aim is naturally to try and pinpoint the problem and see in what way can these be overcome. Chairperson, you see, my other problem is that we've had in the past a presentation where we were given actual breakdowns. And the reason for asking these questions is that for inadequate or non-performance, we paid out performance bonuses. We need to know whether this is still occurring, whether this is still happening. Because at that time we pointed out that it is a major mistake to pay for non-performance. Chairperson, I have a couple of questions. Firstly, Jefferson, in terms of what we have heard today, and if one looks at this new corporate plan, one would like to know what sort of intervention is the bank going to make to increase productivity in the agricultural sector. And in the last corporate plan, it was reported that the bank is reviewing new non-interest revenue sources, new products, and new delivery channels to better meet the needs of clients and improve customer services. We need to know today what progress has since been made. The bank had adopted a turnaround strategy at that time in order to improve performance in the bank, and now it has put a new corporate plan on the table. What has been the impact of the strategy on performance of the bank in terms of that particular strategy? Did the new plan now talk to the strategy, to that strategy? What initiatives has the bank undertaken or going to take in creating an enabling environment for the implementation of Agri BEE? How many BEE transactions has it financed, and for how much, and how successful are they? The bank should provide a breakdown, sir, and if they don't have it today, they can provide it at some, well, they must send it to us. Also in terms of women, youth, and people with disabilities. One of the challenges that face the bank is the recovery of debts, which of course arrear debts. Debts which became arrears. What mechanisms did the bank apply to recover such bad debts, and how much has been recovered? What strategies are in place to ensure that this does not this does not incur irrecoverable debts, but at the same time as developmental banks be able to provide loans to emerging farmers? And what does the effective recovery process really entail? Finally, sir, one of the reasons that the emerging farmers are really struggling to repay their loans is naturally the high interest rate that the bank charges. This is not addressed in the corporate plan, whereas the bank intends to increase its developmental book. We need to know, I mean, if we want to increase the developmental book, what sort of rates are we going to charge the emerging farmers? And how it plans to finance the development book to ensure that it is affordable for emerging farmers. Finally, Chair, if the officials of the bank and the board considers us to be their peers, and I would like to give them a bit of advice, and that is that it is extremely important, Chair, in the field in which this bank has to operate. It has an important developmental function. That it is done with dedication and patriotism. And our eye should be on the ball, and that is that this is my country, these are my people, and I'm going to put in the utmost to see that these people win and that these people succeed. And if we are going to be concerned basically with performance bonuses, what type of motor car I can drive, I'm afraid we will not reach those goals. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Head Bamster.
My question is, I think my question is a place by Comrade that we all know very well that it has been a concern, particularly our presidency, very concerned about the administration of poverty in some. And we think that if we don't come with very drastic measures to try and achieve that, we will sloganize this concern of our place. You say the land bank takes 60% for emerging farmers in the loan and 40% in the ground. I'm very, very, very worried of the experiences that we see now. That if this American farmer don't manage to pay the 60% loan, what is going to happen with their funds? Because most of the American farmers have actually bought funds. It's not a CTO fund. It's really a fund with cousins. Like the commercial fund. And if they get into this debt, there's a possibility of using this fund to actually cover the debt of the loans that they have taken from lending. I think, Minister, this we need a real strong drastic mechanism of trying to uplift this emerging farmer. Like the olden days, keep the poor white farmers were lifted. They had all structures to make them to live to the standard. They started to by putting a plate on their table for the children to eat and survive. Today, they are actually commercial farmers supporting everybody in internet. And it still left a big gap between them and us. So I think for us,
to really make our people to put a plate on their table, some measures have to be put on that will actually eliminate this poverty and hunger that our people are experiencing. They used many methods, and I think CDA knows very well. And why can't we do that? To put our people on the right standard. Why shouldn't we do that? And I just appeal to you, the minister, when you're here, that what you were saying is not political. That is the truth. There's nothing political about it. It's the truth, and the truth is always bitter. If people know their background, they always feel the truth is painful. But we need to address this issue very drastically. People can't go on studying. We should have, we should close this gap. I don't know how to
I think that takes care of my hand. Let's permit us to make two questions which would sort of piggyback on some of the questions that have been asked. CEO, this question, Chief Financial Officer, this question about the interest rate policy. Is it possible to have a dual regime? You've got, I don't know what your current interest rate is, at the same level as other banks. So that applies both on your development finance and commercial finance. Is it possible to have a dual regime where the different regime applies for development finance? you respond to that question later. But then, another question about resolving the empowerment deals. On one of your slides. Can you just fill us on what are the current bottlenecks and what sort of targets we have in terms of resolving those? I don't know why politicians despise their trade. we are politicians, so let's not despise politics. there's nothing wrong in every political conversation in our train for professional politicians. So, I'll start with the minister.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with the Chair. I think we're all politicians here. It is politics that put us in this parliament. And some of us are dancing to the media gallery. The misrepresentations of the facts, I think we have a responsibility to correct the facts and put everything in its proper historical context and background. I also want to say that the forensic audit to respond to Honorable Mayor is being finalized as we speak. And we remember that this was a resolution that came from cabinet, and therefore we have to take it back to cabinet after which it will be tabled in this committee for discussion and deliberation. And so we'll try to hopefully do it within the coming month or so, so that we can finalize around that. But also we are all awaiting to see the report, which I believe will assist us to assist in the turnaround of the bank. We also believe as the government that the land bank still needs recapitalization. I believe the injection that we have put at the moment is not enough for us to be able to do real development work and empower our historically disadvantaged farmers in South Africa. And so I agree with the members who are saying the capital at the disposal of the bank is not enough for the work that we are expecting. and I think the government has demonstrated its commitment already. The Treasury has injected 700 million rand and has extended the guarantee of 1.5 billion until December 2008. And I believe that once we have seen the gap, we have seen the audit report, I am sure we will go back and request more capitalization for us to be able to do the work that the bank mandate expects of the bank. We are also looking at a new funding model. We would like to go and see, for instance, what happens in other countries. For instance, I visited South Korea and saw what they are doing with agriculture and farming there. I also visited Malaysia and I would Jefferson encourage the committee for us to visit some of these countries just to go and study. They have what they call the agricultural bank, and I think we can learn something out of them. I also agree with the honorable member Abrams about performance bonuses. If the bank is not performing, really, I don't see why we need bonuses. And I hope that from the CEO and the chairman of the board, we are going to look into that, because as the bank has not performed as we expected at this point in time, I don't think we can afford bonuses for the sake of bonuses. In terms of the recovery of debt, I agree, honorable member, we need to look at that very seriously. And we are doing all we can to be able to recover those debts, including what honorable Sanikas referred to, assets that disappear. I would appreciate if he has a list or he has the details, because we're trying to look at each and every asset and we're trying to recapture or to make sure that whatever assets are lost that should be in the bank are recovered. So we would appreciate if honorable members have been committed to assist in that regard. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think what we'll do is just to make headlines maybe a bit easier for us, probably to take the questions by each of the honourable members and deal the ones that haven't have been responded to. From Honourable Nell, I think the first one, I think the second one has been answered about the foreign orders which you made something. I think there was an add-on about people being retrenched. I'm afraid I didn't follow that and I didn't quite understand exactly what the question was, so I'm unable to respond to this. Other people in the team followed up to the question. But the initial one was, is it possible to do both commercial and development, and if so, how then exactly we plan to do this?
Let me talk to
I think
Honorable Nell talk to the capital adequacy of the bank and how we're going to do the two parts. I think he correctly points out that normally if the risks are higher, you normally charge higher interest, except for agriculture. What is happening, Honorable Nell, is that if you remember what I had said, is that you've got the 700 million rand, which is going to be ring fenced. So when you go to the market and raise funds for the development, you're going to give them 20% adequacy based on that 700 million that you have. So those funds can be traced to the ring fence 700 million rand. Now, on the commercial side, if you remember, all the banks, the commercial banks, are sitting on a 10% capital adequacy. And the bank at the moment is sitting at about 6%. But the way when we negotiated the 1.5 billion rand, guaranteed from government.
government was that, which is what we told the financial market. When we went to see the financial market, we explained to them that when they look at the balance sheet of the land bank, they have to take that 1.5 as part of the capital of the land bank. So if you add the two together, then it gives you a better capital adequacy.
Just
to
be clear, the financial market
is you have to take the 1.5 billion rent together with the capital of the bank. So that's how we've always done with the financial market, and they've been comfortable with that. So you could be able to trace then the two sources of funds to the underlying assets that are being financed, because the two will be ring fenced.
I think the overall answer is that it is possible to do both with some difficulty, because by their nature, the approach to risk and pricing are quite different. It is something that the bank has been doing, just that historically it's been overwhelmingly commercial. I know there's a development unit that has been established within the bank, and what this model and acceleration of development is looking to do is actually to begin to make that the predominant activity of the bank. So that it is something that has been done, and obviously the bit of a shift in the emphasis, and that's part of what the plan is seeking to exactly demonstrate how it is that we're going to do it. And then there were some questions from Honorable Saudi. I think there was speaking to slide 5, and how we plan to meet those expectations, if we ever previously met them, how we're going to meet them now.
There was another question I think we didn't answer previously relating to NGOs and how they report back to the land bank. The NGOs that we're looking at here mostly are your commodity groups, which are already in agriculture as a way of extending the network and reach of the land bank, because some of them would be commodity groups, for example, in the right wing industry who already have members and systems which we can use to dispense where the land bank cannot reach. So that those are the types of relationships we hope to have. And there are also structures like Women in Agriculture and Rural Development, which have recently been formed, and we're also looking at forming alliances with them and see how we can reach more women cooking into that. Access to land bank projects in rural areas, again, it is an area we're looking at. There are various suggestions that have been put on the table. One, as we said, was cooperating with co-ops. Secondly, to probably look at extending the branch network, which could be an expensive exercise, because maintaining branches is quite expensive and pricey, depending on the number of clients that you have. But some of the suggestions have included what has been called mobile branches, where if they, as particular citizens, where you know in a certain family area people start planning with you, then establish a caravan where people would go and apply for land bank. So that the other part which has already been done is to connect alliances with your post office, which is also part of the government institution, and there's more retail network than the land bank. So it is those kinds of alliances, because in the short term, without increasing your income, it would be difficult to increase your branch network. And I think it deals with the issue also about how are you going to monitor the performance of these individuals, because if you work with commodity groups, hopefully they are closer to their members and therefore can tell when there are problems. But also the land bank is building its own capacity to monitor the loans that it gives. The issue about not only tilling the soil, it talks to the value chain that currently the land bank has primarily focused on primary agriculture, where a lot of the risk lies, and there hasn't been a lot of financing in terms of processing, but even at the consumer level. And where that becomes very important is in providing markets for primary agriculture. So we think that should not be where it ends, that you finance for people only to get involved in primary agriculture, but look across in terms of what can be done. And I think the issue about interest rates, development finance, it will forever be a question. For as long as there is development finance institutions, as to how do you find your money. But I think some of the issues about subsidies and the other forms of support are mainly what the department is working on. And currently, the Ministry, the Department of Agriculture and Land Affairs are reviewing the grant structures, but also saying, compared to the rest of the world, how is South Africa performing in terms of supporting the agriculture sector? So the minister is leading that project. And I think maybe when the Department of Agriculture comes, there will be a clearer strategy in terms of that. Because I think we must not only look at interest rates as the only way to subsidize farmers. Because for a long time in the land bank, it would be linked to the cost of funding in terms of how much interest rates you can charge. But if the grants are done properly, you actually can subsidize these farmers without the interest rates, but in terms of the grants, so that they can afford the repayment of their loans. But on the other side, in terms of the products that are being developed, and as the minister said, some of the experiences in Korea is where they would give payment holidays to a farmer for a certain period of time, so that to allow them to generate cash flow so that they are able to retain the loan. So those are some of the things you look at, but you don't also want to do that at the expense of the farmers because the interest is accumulating. So that is product development which is being done by the land bank to look at those issues. The issue about simplifying the act, fortunately, comes from the Member of Parliament, so we look to Parliament to assist us in doing that. But what we've done in this corporate plan is to put the indicators the FNCO and the chairman have read in terms of the number of the farms, emerging farmers established, jobs created, and various other things. So we want to use those as upfront commitments and say at the beginning of the year, the shareholders and the land bank and the board agree that these are the targets we're going to meet so that we're able to simplify for ourselves what we think is the implication of the act on what we should be doing as the land bank. So that is being done. Increasing productivity and what the land bank will do to intervene. I think if we increase the numbers of people in the emerging sector and actually make sure they are sustainable businesses, that is where productivity will increase. Because the idea is that we don't want the increase to come largely from the established commercial sector, where there are opportunities that will bring in new players into the industry. And I think various examples we can make show where there are potential in the market for growth. I think with biofuels, there's opportunity for a new market where a lot of emerging farmers could produce more. So there are various kinds of things like those that we're looking at. The breakdown on youth, women, and people with disabilities on the impact of land bank funding, that kind of exercise hasn't been done thoroughly yet. We're still looking at it, so maybe we'll come back to the honorable members report in writing in terms of where the statistics is, but as it currently stands, it is not very clear. So I think those were the questions I noted. Thanks. Yeah.
Just to add, I think the question of the interest rate is a fundamental question that as a bank we need to answer. Mike, okay. Yeah, Chesterton, the question of the interest rate is really the fundamental question that the bank needs to answer, especially as it relates to the question of development. And I think the number of questions that have been asked by honorable members, they relate mainly to the question of interest rates, although they come in one form or the other. The question about capital adequacy, the question about the financial position of the land bank, all those questions, they somehow impact ultimately on the interest rate that we charge our customers. The question about whether we should be doing commercial versus development, they all link to the same issue of ultimately being able to give funding to our customer at sustainable rates. So I think if we look at the financial position of the bank,
we're talking about three key issues. We're talking about the bank being profitable. We're talking about the bank being able to manage its liquidity. We're talking about the bank being solvent. So the question of the capital injection coming from government, the question of the guarantees, they are resolving the issue of solvency. So we are able, as the bank, to go to the market and raise funding at competitive rates, and we are able to then pass those benefits to our development farmers. But at the same time, Chairperson, we have to be profitable. So we need to be combining the two, the commercial and the development. Because this, from the commercial book, this is where we are able to generate income and become profitable. Because the people who are investing money in the land bank, they want to see that the bank is profitable. The question was asked by one of the members, why we are paying $1.2 billion on our interest. Why do we have an interest expense of $1.2 billion? Chairperson, this interest expense of $1.2 billion is very much comparable with other DFIs. If you look at the financials released by DBSA recently, they are also paying that kind of interest. And the reason why you are paying such a high interest amount is because of the amount of debt that you have in the market. We're sitting currently with a liability of about $16 billion. We have to pay interest on that. At the same time, we have to maximize income out of how we utilize the money, how we invest the money, so we can generate the necessary profits required to ultimately be able to finance the development. And I think the minister has already spoken about us working to develop a new funding model that will address the new focus on development. And this funding model, we hope, will not only rely on the capital market, because at the moment, we are putting too much reliance on the capital market to finance the development book. So we are looking at sourcing funds from other sources other than the PICs and the old mutuals of this world. So we can be able to then get cheaper sources of funding, which we can utilize to finance our development farmers. But I think I just wanted to say this question of the interest rate is the fundamental issue. All the other issues that we are talking about are linked to it. The issue of management. The people who are investing money in the land bank, they want to see that the manager, the people who are managing the land bank, have the appropriate skills. And so that they can then put money in the bank. So once we have addressed the issues that we have all addressed, we are hoping that the interest expense will come down, and as it comes down, then we'll be able to pass that benefit to our development fund.
Yes. Honorable Minister, you come in the second round, so let's just exhaust the response to the question.
Okay. Only Mr. Dalek asked about the actual numbers for the period to date. Mr. Dalek, we didn't give the numbers in separately, but what it is, we took the experience to date and then we projected it to year end what those numbers would look like. So we didn't show them separately, Abra and Kuzan. Then Mr. Abra, about the excesses. Actually, the numbers that are in negative, Honorable Abra, are not necessarily overrun, but they are outflows. Where it's a positive number, it's money coming into the bank, where it's in brackets, it's money going out like an interest expense, like an expense. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's an overrun. So it's just the way we put the numbers together. Now, the other issue that Honorable Adam raised was the issue of non-interest revenue, which is one of the fundamental issues also of service pages of the bank. If you look at the financial statement of any other bank, you'll find that there's always almost the two graphs almost cross each other when you look at the interest income and non-interest income. Very much more because banks can't compete on interest. They compete on the fee side. That's where you charge people for the facilities that they have when they throw money on their ATMs,
when you send them the state, also, I mean, when you, I mean, they draw money and all those things, credit cards and all those things, that's where they're making their money. So you find that the lending, that almost all our income is coming very much more from the interest side, very little money on the non-interest income. Now, the things that we have said we're going to choose, you find that actually when you go to the market and you try and charge people, for instance, for facility fees, you find that the other banks are not doing that, and you can't basically roll them out. So some of the things that we thought we could do in this country, actually, you find that if you go to other countries, you can charge someone if you're giving them a facility, and they induce you, you use a non-utilization fee, so actually we couldn't roll those things out. So some of those things that we thought we could do on the non-interest revenue side, we have not been able to do. I think the issue of the high interest rate, I think it has been addressed by the treasurer. And actually, yeah, maybe let me give it a second.
I think there has been a question about how we are planning to market the bank to the villages, and I'm not sure if that's on very flat. Perhaps Mr. Montes, you can speak a bit more to that.
Thank you, Chen. To add to the response that Ms. Zamsaka gave, when the CEO was presenting the new model of Arandi, she made mention of the fact that as a bank, for us to be able to deliver and on development challenges, we've got to mobilize skills and resources, both within the agriculture sector and outside the agriculture sector. I'm happy to report that we're working very closely with government communication information services in terms of giving content to the multi-purpose community centers, which are strategically spread across the country. And most of them are also placed in deep rural areas, and some of them are in urban areas in informal settlements. And we're also working very closely with the post office in terms of providing content to public information terminals. And what we did in rural areas, we segmented the farming market within rural areas, say from subsistence farmers to commercial farmers. And we were able to say that, you know, identify those who produce for household consumption, those who have access to infrastructure as well as technology, those who have limited access to market as well as skills, and those who have lack of access to capital, and vice versa than to the commercial farmers, to those who have access to skills and capacity building, who have access to market, who have access to information and technology. And we are working very closely as well with the Department of Local Government within the context of Project Consolidate. There are instances where we are physically present in terms of interacting with the rural community on the ground through our shows and exhibitions, and also through deliberating on structures that are embedded in rural areas.
So, another thing that I can talk about. Land Bank, does it have, you know, a comprehensive communication strategy? And do you have dedicated communicators? What do you have the sort of money that you're taking to? Just in a second.
Yes, sir, we do have a comprehensive communication strategy and also the dedicated resources.
And some of the things that you're talking to are in the strategy?
They are in the strategy.
Further responses?
Yes, so we're just looking through to see which ones we may not have yet answered. I think there was one about how it is that we're interacting with the Department of Agriculture, Department of Land, and I think this is the institution.
Chairperson, thank you again. The model we presented before you has got serious variables that are dependent on other systems. And I think we want to re-emphasize that the success of that model lies heavily on our serious interrelationship with the Department of Agriculture, then the sector organizations. and we have already made proper alignment issues and agreements with particular institutions to be able to work together as a team. I think that's going to be very beneficial for us going forward. So keep working on this alignment issues and relationships so that we actually start developing and how to look together to be able to move forward. I think this is in the model that we needed to have this commonness to be able to implement and to be able to communicate and develop. Do agree that it's important for this particular relationship, and we obviously want to turn out to find it every day.
And then with some of the other ones that may not have come from Honorable Abrams, there was one also about what impact turnaround has had on performance. I think the short answer is that it's been positive, but I suspect that's going to be a subject of greater conversation when the annual financial statement has been published, because I tend to look back and you see what performance was actually achieved. And I think similarly on the non-performing loans, what mechanisms we have in place. As I understand, we do have a dedicated unit of people who do exactly that. As to how much has been recovered, I think again it's one of those that's going to be more detailed when we get done the financial statements and look at past performance, and we can talk more detail on that one. And then there was the one about if no performance and no bonus. I think absolutely subscribe to that. And there's no difficulty with that principle. The only difference might be that each employee is going to get their separately on how they've delivered on their task that has been given to them.
Do you have a government management system?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. So that, you know, sometimes the usual example is that the business may have made a loss, but if somebody's job was to keep the toilets clean and he kept them clean the whole time, if he is due his bonus, he's due his bonus. To perform the task that he was given. Sure, there are different components, some link to overall performance, some don't link. Not all the areas link to overall performance of the institution as a whole. Some are personal to that person, and whether he delivers what he's supposed to deliver. But the short answer is yes, there are. And again, it's also an important thing that we keep wanting to recruit people, want to keep keeping them and so on. So we have to be mindful that if you want the best people to come and work for you, there needs to be a reward and retention system that's going to keep them interested and motivated and working. Where if somebody is going to be giving their all and overall the institution doesn't perform and they're not going to get recognition for the effort that he's put and that he's charged, it's a difficult. The reality is that the person is going to move on. So we subscribe to the principle that if a person hasn't performed, they don't get a bonus. That's how it works and that's how it is. But it's difficult if you just stand back and say, as an institution, collectively we haven't performed, therefore not a single person is getting a bonus. I think that's where the detail comes, and again, we'll take the financial statement.
And our collective must look at, if the committee must look at your performance management system. But of course, individual performance has got to result in the aggregate performance of the scientists. But we'll have to deal with that.
This is not so that there are components. There are components which are linked, there are some components which aren't. So like if as a whole, in other words, if we don't perform collectively as a bank, then there's a particular component of the performance which we wouldn't be getting. In other words, it might be lower than...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying to you. Yeah. As a committee, we must have decided with your performance management system. Yeah. Tables of linkages and delinkages, as well as the part of the whole that delineates and links to one another. I'm just going to take honorable members, we don't have much time now. I will just give honorable Holland Minister, who has indicated the need to ask a question, also that she has not even had an opportunity to do so. I will take honorable Baba Dawson. And I will see whether I will give Honorable Fanikia and Honorable Abrams an opportunity to ask follow-up questions, and Honorable BP. So I'll deal with that when I get there. So no guarantees on my part. But well, try God, hopefully. So I've got all of our visa. I've got the.
Thank you, Chair, and welcome to the Chair and to this committee. I'm happy that you put to an end this idea that we can teach in matters between before this committee without talking politics, because we are politicians and we are driven by our political convictions and whatever we say. I would imagine, Chair, that this question may have been answered, but it could be. It was not answered in language that my villagers would understand. This matter of clients or customers having left the land bank for other commercial banks, what would be the cause of that? Why would leave the bank that is supposed to be having less onerous conditions on loans than other banks for those people to go to those banks? And on the question of which has not been raised, I imagine. But we know that there is a problem of people acquiring land in terms of the new order, only to find that they lose that land because they're not able to meet the financial obligations with the bank, resulting in that land now being sold as a way of auction to previously advantaged farmers. How does the bank deal with that one? And lastly, say, on the matter of grants, that I imagine are designed to assist those who, for instance, do not have what we call guarantees over the pieces of land, like our group. You can't help provide collateral by way of their land. What kind of activities would be funded through this grant by the bank?
Mama?
Thanks. There was a short question to the resident. The official approach of government to the education of the state through the implementation of the visa project. Now, I just want to check with the resident whether they are incorporating with the Julia corporate plan. If they are, how do they see themselves doing this? And I hear the issue of subsistence farming. I don't know, I'm always not very keen about it because this is exactly where we find our people getting low income, which leads to low savings, you know, and low investment and low productivity as well. So in my view, I would just wonder, love to see us just going big and commercial. And, you know, as we sit here, we are not poor. We are not poor, all of us here. But at the same time, we are not wealthy as well. So, I am asking Land Bank just to try and, you know, contribute in trying to free our people from the hunger misery. That's all we're asking. Just a life, just to give them a life that is befitting a human being. You know, that's all we're asking, and I think Land Bank can contribute. I don't know, it's always my belief that through agriculture we could get our people out of the poverty trap. You know, history tells us that agrarian societies, they never go hungry. Yes, it may be so that they are not wealthy, but at least they are not always hungry. Thank you, Chair.
Can we take responses? I'm sure you're also aware that the question about the bottleneck on the Land Public Department and all of that is not important. Yes, I think each time we try to respond, I think the next round of questions come. I could mention to you the one that I don't think we've answered. Well, maybe do we have a dual interest rate system? I think there was a broad answer, but not specific to that. I agree with you, what is the bottleneck, what are we going to address? There was another question about
PE, how much have we done, how many have we funded. I think the answer was that that's not unfortunately detail we can't prepare with today. And again, looking back, I know financial statements are still that detail will come. But your specific one about what are the bottlenecks, what we're doing, those haven't been addressed. Now, in terms of sequence, I'm not sure which one you'd like us to do. To start with
it's the previous round? It's
all
cost.
All right. Maybe let's start with the previous round so that we take the moment. Do we have a dual interest rate system?
Yes, yeah. At the moment we don't, but I think with this new model that we have adopted, the plan going forward, as we said, once we have looked at the new funding model for the development book, then we are going to subsidize the development farmers from the funding that we obtain from a cheaper process of funding that will be available. And as a result, we will then end up with a dual system where the commercial farmers will be funded from funds obtained from the capital market, and the development farmers will be funded from a combination of funds obtained from the capital market and also subsidies and other sources of funding that will be specific to their project.
If you listen to that closely, what he's saying, you may still have the same interest rate, but because he's not paying for the full loan, the effective interest that he's paying would be lower. Because you're getting 100 grand, but you're not paying interest rate on 100 because it's what grant, say for 40. So even though the interest, if you look at the interest rate, is the same, but the effective interest rate that you're paying is not, is lower than someone else who's not getting the grant. It's kind of what they're saying.
I think we need to engage on that point. Can we take more responses? I think we need to engage on that.
What are the BE, what are the bottlenecks, and what are we doing to address?
Agri BE, in terms of how it's being implemented by the land bank currently, it's one, the financing of some of the BE projects where people come and ask for funding from the land bank. And that is the part where we don't have the exact figures of how much investment has been put into that. But there's also an agri fund of the Department of Agriculture, which has implemented in collaboration with the land bank, where 50% of the funding is a grant and 50% of that is a loan from the land bank. So that the issue there, I think, was the budget, which was allocated. Because I think for this current financial year, it's about 100 million. And when you look at it in terms of 50% grant, 50% loan, that means you can afford the deals of up to about 200 million. And when you look at some of the big deals that take place in the sector, it's quite a lot of money. They can run into hundreds of millions and they can run into billions. So part of it, and I think part of that has also been that with the agri-BE charter still being negotiated in the sector, some of the businesses have delayed making commitments. There are some which have already implemented on their own, but some of them have waited a bit until the charter is finalized. So I think once it has been signed, the process that I think is being completed within the Department of the Ministry, I think we'll see a picking up at the end of the agri-BE charter.
So just to add, Chairperson, I think the other issue is, we spoke about it earlier, the issue of project development. So I think we are saying going forward we are going to take a proactive stance where as a bank we acquire stakes to warehouse for future distribution to BEE beneficiaries. At the moment, we're focusing very much on debt financing. We don't have a model that focuses on equity financing. So we're going to look at going forward processes where we warehouse stakes for potential future BEE beneficiaries.
And with the next round of questions, I think from Honorable Omission, I think there were three. The first one was, why would people leave the bank and go to other banks, which were supposedly easier and softer people to leave? deal with. And the second one was when black farmers are going to be called, their land ends up being auctioned and being bought back by white farmers. And then the last one is about if there's no collateral, then what activities would the grant that we are talking about actually fund? With the first on why people would leave, I think there's a combination of push factors and pull factors. Maybe I'll just mention one of these. There are others that people have that could add. I know one of the push factors has been just poor service and the poor experience that people are having at the bank. Some of the pull factors are just that there's a range of other banking services that other banks can offer them. If they're the credit card, and other services that we're just not able to offer, and just makes life easier for them to do all of their banking in one place. And then on the black farmers who are going to default, I don't know if there's a way to deal with him. What I had understood is that there had been an arrangement in the past, I'm not sure how well it had worked, but that when such a situation would arise, is that the bank would make, I think, an offer to the provincial department of land affairs, wherever that land was, and that some market value was then determined, and then there was opportunity given to that land affairs department to make the acquisition. And if they weren't able to or elected not to, then there would be a sale and execution. And as I understand, with sales and execution, there isn't an ability to say, no, we don't want to sell to these people because they have this other color. But I don't have any information as to how much of this has actually happened in the past. And I know that there has now been a moratorium, I think, since last year. November last year, which has been agreed with NAFU to exactly put a stop to this and to then find a mechanism of trying to resolve it so that we don't regret the land reform steps that we've taken forward. And then the last one was the grant. If there's no collateral, what activities would the grant be funding?
Honourable Member, the part of the grant structure and also reviewing the program of the land bank to look at measures that are not stringent to disadvantage people who get funding so that the credit evaluation is not similar to that of commercial banks. And one of the things that is being looked at, maybe also from the bank side, is insurance, that for those who may not have collateral, you give them insurance against crop failure so that at least minimize the risk of not them being able to pay. But part instead of the development of the new product, so that you don't have very stringent credit requirements. But on the other side, what we also try to get to make sure that the evaluation of the project is robust so that we find projects that are viable, and if they are not viable, we look at other forms of support which can be given to them. Because part of the lesson which has been learned is that some of the land from beneficiaries have been given way too much loans than what they can afford. So even from day one, it gets to be clear that the person is not going to be able to afford the loans that they are given. So that is not helping them as well, because setting up them for failure from day one. So it is one of the things that has been looked at in the system, how the grant can be used, effectively to deal with that stuff yet. And these grants are, in any case, some of them already there, maybe they are not adequate. There are the Elrod grants, there are CARS, and there are MAFISA, which has interest rates which are a bit cheaper than what the net bank has. So some of the products are there already. But that's in the alignment of them, that they come in at the same time when they are needed, and they come at the correct time, because it does not help you to give assistance to someone who's already come. So it is part of the evaluation mechanisms that are being looked at to make sure that we cater correctly to the situation.
development plan. And then the last question, I think, was about the visa, where that's addressed in the corporate plan, and how it's accommodated.
I think just as we mentioned, that part of the money, the 700 million capital injection, will be reinvested into development. And our definition of development is not only about transformational development. And we mentioned somewhere in the document that development will include greenfield projects, and in particular, we spoke about the biofuel activities that we need to be engaged in. And I think the biofuel activities, as we see them, they also support the ALGISA initiative. And I think we're saying not only are we looking at biofuel, we want to go beyond that as part of development, look at other developmental projects within the agriculture space that are part and parcel of the ALGISA initiative. So the 700 million capital that is going to be ring-fenced is going to go beyond certain agri-BE transformational development, going to also look at other developmental issues in line with the ALGISA, as well as ultimately they create jobs, they relate to all the benefits that ALGISA is trying to derive.
Regardless of my desire to take a second round of questions, time is not a complex for me. Well, this is not the last time of engagement with the board and the management of the land bank. When we come back in the last term, we'll engage with them in terms of the annual report and some of the issues that we dealt with there. But most importantly, this report that the minister spoke about, the forensic audit report, the review for the development finance institutions that the government is busy doing, or not sure whether it's completed or not, completed is going to have a bearing on your turnaround strategy. I'm sure at that point it will also provide us space to engage with this model as well. Honorable member, please accept that this is not the last day on which we deal with this.
Despite what you said, that I would take a second chance, you're ruling that I do not get another question.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, directly. You're not the only one, though. But I said no guarantees on my part. Yes. So, that being accepted, thank you very much, Team Land Bank, and thanks, Minister, for coming. Well, then, before you leave Team Land Bank, we lunch will be in the March building at 1 o'clock. But members of the committee, let's just deal with the cross-training matters just for a few minutes.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want also to congratulate you and say that I hope we'll have a good working relationship like we did with the previous chairperson. And in absentia, yeah, I would also want to take this opportunity to thank the previous chair for the good work and the responsibility in the hot seat. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I hope with this collective and the new minister, the seats would be warmer. This is cooler than the first prize. And this is for the stay on. Members, where are we now?
I can just go straight to Mark's hearing for lunch. Remember, just quickly, the point that Mr. Issue was talking about, the question of the people's citizenship, which will be in the Eastern Cape, as indicated as a matter of trust in various occasions. I am informed by our administration that we've been asked to arrange an oversight trip preceding the people's assembly. And we have asked the media to speak with every member of their delegation and all of them. So I'm not sure if Madi wants to speak to the program. But before she does so, Honorable Jali has this issue with me now that on the program he does not see Osterlek next and Mawachi. So we have instructed Maja to look at us and factor that into the program. So Maja, just quickly speak to the program.
Okay, as Chief Assistant mentioned, the People's Assembly will be taking place in Rizana from the 16th to the 19th of September. Our portfolio committee, along with other portfolio committees, have also been requested to perform oversight the week preceding the actual People's Assembly so that they can actually compile the report which will be presented at the People's Assembly. What we've done is that we've liaised with the Department of Agriculture, the Provincial Department of Agriculture, as well as the Regional Land Claims Commission, in terms of the identification of projects that can be visited by the portfolio committee, as well as organizing meetings with the relevant departments to brief the committee in terms of what is going on within that province. The preceding chairperson, and I've discussed this with the new chairperson as well, the issues identified in terms of the report that came was support to farmers, as well as there's been a number of land plans that were settled in the Bizana area. As members are aware, the Eastern Cape is also one of the regions that was severely affected by the recent swine fever epidemic. So we'll be visiting farms affected by that as well. Most of the members sitting here are members that have already confirmed that they will be going. If there are any projects, any other projects that members that are familiar with the Eastern Cape region would like to identify, please let me know so that I can ask the department to factor that into our oversight program as well.
So, do all the members have the program as drafted? Our program for the visit. Yeah, and the itinerary will follow tomorrow. And I suppose even the details to, you know, what time is your flight, who's going to pick you up at the airport, from the airport where you're going to sleep at, and all of that. That information will come in by tomorrow, my dear. Okay. Honorable Dan?
Yeah, thanks. Since you indicated that I've raised that issue, I'm sure it won't be accepted yet. But my proposal is that on Tuesday the 11th, maybe should be the time that we go to this on Kanatnak, which is Makassar. But I was just confronting two of my comrades, my left and right, that if you look at the 10th, the 13 to 16 hours, in terms of the massive food shortage today, people have not planted yet. So I don't know what are you going to see there. You know, it's just an open task that is sitting there. Maybe we just have to look at that. And maybe instead of that one, we can just put that Mawachi Corporation. So that instead of that, we visit that Mawachi Corporation instead of that particular part, you know. I was just putting that subject in there. And I'm also told that if you look from Bizana to that in Puchi, but the Yamase food, it's about close to 3 to 4 hour drive from Bizana. Well, this place is an Amkata. From the wild coast right up to Amkata, you have almost half a day to drive to that area. So I think we must just look in terms of communication so that the people they understand. For example, if you look at the Office of Eastern Cape Regional Land Claims, it's in East London. I don't know whether they have the staff office in Amkata or something, but otherwise, even from Bizana to East London, it's about 2 days drive from Bizana where you're going to see to the office. I don't know where the office is in terms of this particular issue. Thank you, sir.
So,
question, we'll talk about that. We'll talk. Also, the last item, I'm not sure if in that area was what any farms with pigs. And then we're going to go to the villages. Otherwise, we don't have farms. I don't think so. I'm not sure. But I doubt we'll have to make certain that there are farms in that area, which I doubt. I'm going to go to the villages. And where I think mostly that all the pigs have been taken by the government.
We'll say that we are in the process of trying it down with the department. The list of projects that we're going to be visiting was only sent to our office this morning. So that will definitely be factored into the program. We will be tying down all the recommendations from members with regards to venues for the meetings. We will also be tying that down today, and members will get a detailed copy of the itinerary tomorrow. In terms of the projects that we will be visiting and also the venues for the projects involved.
Well, I don't know whether you are obliged to give it the area which is around Tizana, or whether I'm just discussing the eastern case as well. Because we really not saying return. The last time we went on an oversight visit to the eastern case, we cut our visit short because of a change in parliamentary progress. We would have had to go to the irrigation systems and schemes in the western part of course, in the Queensland area of Zimbabwe, which is some distance away from Lizana. But I would have thought that we do want to go and visit those irrigation dams, which would mean then that if that is possible, we could take a day visit that part, and then the following day we go in the direction of Pondoland, when the Zana is. And then the other day we go to Matatiele and Coxlas, the on-colored snap issue, where we're talking about some people who came here to complain about the land claims which have not been properly addressed by the land claims commission. So in short, I would suggest that if it's feasible, in consultation, of course, with the Eastern Cape people, we could go to Mocha irrigation teams and later to Mizana and also to the Coastal Matatiele area. Yes, that's where it's
fine. You know, all of this are the basic part of the, people that are living in Mizana. I'm informed that the communication says we must visit that area. So perhaps we may just have to look at how do we then follow on the issues that are not attended to the triggers of that.
I just want to know about the Sunday's program when we are leaving because at 4 o'clock the Springboks are playing their first game.
On Sunday there is the Springbok, there is Bafana Bafana, Ian Cape Town. All your family details speak to Magia. Honorable Edmund?
One of our problems in the past has been that when the department actually suggests that we visit certain places, you're normally taken to, those places that are really well and good looking and what have you. We would like to go and see those places where there are difficulties and failures as well. Now, I think Nkosi refers to one of the irrigation schemes. I don't know whether he refers to the one which has failed miserably, Now, you see, Chairperson, if we go out in that part of the world, okay, fine, if we are supposed to be in Bidana, from what I understand, there's not very much happening in Bidana. Let us see what is happening there, but let us then spend half of our time in the problem areas. Because those are the people that need intervention, those are the people that need assistance. Thank you.
So, can we do the whole ensemble? You know, look at the projects within the, that district, that designer.
Yeah.
Okay, I will find out. I will find out about that. The problem is that this trip is actually not going to be funded from the committee's budget. It's coming from the public affairs budget. So that is why there is that distinction in terms of the area which the committee is allowed to cover. But I will find out about that, the extent to which the committee can visit outside the design area. I will find out about that or communicate that to members today.
I think what needs to be communicated is that whilst we are there are certain other problem areas that we would also like to go and visit. Of course, I realize, you know, the old saying, he that pays the piper calls the truth. But in this particular case, we need to bring home to public affairs that there are certain issues that are pressing and that need our intervention. Thank you.
Well, I agree with you. The list that was sent through this morning, if members can note those areas, there's Encantolo Sustainable Land Development. We don't have the profiles of this area. There is not Pondola and Sugar. There is Bidana Apertura Portion. MC Zion Portion Project. Lindo Kusha. I don't know what project it is. But beautiful thing. Msanga Lake Project. Family Farmers Association, where they deal with banana. But these two that Honorable Nadia suggested we take care of, I think we should include them. If there are some that we need to offload, just offload them in the interest of, you know, creating a proper balance. So, also the implications for the committee, you know, because we need to know from where we'll be sleeping. What happens in the morning, you know? How far are these days, you know? How many people have confirmed, and if we're to subdivide ourselves, how do we deal with that? So, work out with the competition. So, members, I think this takes care of the oversight visit. But honorable Mr. If there are some of the areas that you know honorable Dali which you think we may have to set aside, let's do that for the end of our business today so that the administrator deals with those for tomorrow. The last issue is the adoption of the fourth term program. I'm not sure that we'll be able to adopt it because members, I suppose we're just seeing the program now. But because this being our last portfolio committee meeting, and myself, it would be important for us to know exactly what the comment where would we be.
After the people's attendance.
Yes, after the people's attendance. So we're not going to, this is the last portfolio committee. So after the people's assembly, Parliament is going to arrive. They are not going to have a meeting ever. If my information is correct.
If there's not going to be a meeting until the fourth quarter,
yeah,
and so we'll have to find some ways of looking at this program then.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. The program is there. Let's take it as a working program. That comes the last term that the Sultana. So I don't know when we approve the program, but I would tell you that we take it as a working program for the next year.
I think so we have agreed with this in principle.
Okay.
Then we, any amendment that may come, you see, we just amend.
Yeah.
The committee today we have agreed on this in principle. So that when you come back, there's no problem, there's no problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So So, honorable members, this will be our working program for the next term. Thank you very much. Enjoy our next.
Viva, viva, viva.